All right, back. I was gonna say back from the Amazon. I'm back from Rome. Might as well be the same thing. Back from Amazonian Rome. Got back late last night here with Tim Gordon. How are you, Tim?
What's up, man? I'm fine. I'm probably better rested than you,
That's
unlike most of our other shows
right.
the last couple months. Yeah, how are you? How are
Oh
you doing?
man, good. I hardly slept when I was in Rome because it was just go, go, go,
Yeah.
and there was so many people to see, so many things to see, so many things not to see in Rome with all the
Right.
paganism and people running around with feathers and loincloths and Adidas tracksuits and all
Disgusting.
sorts of crazy
Yeah.
feathered hats and whatnot. So I'm back.
Man.
We're going to talk about it. We're going to look at some of these videos that are coming out, do some analysis, and see where it takes us today.
Right.
So,
Yeah, was it? Yeah.
it was good. It was good.
Was it good? I mean, yeah, give us a sense of the ethos before we jump into analysis. We could do that anytime. We were going to do a show from there. Tell, I mean, I know the ethos of Rome because I lived there, but I wanted to be there. I would have been very interested to see what the feel on the ground is.
The feel on the ground is desperate. Italian people in Rome don't like Pope Francis. This is really, I sensed that when I was there in May. I really sense it now. He's not popular in Rome. He doesn't have the local support. And then people who had come into town, there is a general disgust on the ground. Every single conversation, every bar, restaurant, alley, wherever I was, it was all about Pope Francis. Can you believe what he's doing? And that was
Really?
not just hanging out with, Michael Matt or Michael Voris or John Henry Weston or those types. I'm talking about people I met and people who live in Rome. There's a
Really?
general horror at what's going on at the Vatican.
It's refreshing. I mean, one expects that, and sometimes one doesn't find that. So that's good.
Now, that doesn't mean that the Roman people are devout Catholics. I mean, the people I'm talking with are practicing Catholics, so I don't know what, the street sweeper 5 miles north of Rome thinks. But the people I was engaging with who are
Right.
concerned and caring, they are aghast at what's going on in Rome. But, it was this past weekend in Rome was just so many familiar faces and people settling on Rome. We had the panel was on Friday. And that was Marco Tassotti, myself, Jean Smith, Mr. Yoreda, who was just dynamite. He spoke at the TFP conference as well. Roberto De Mattei, Michael Voris, Michael Matt, John Henry Weston. I'm sure I'm forgetting maybe one or two there. But it went really well. I mean, we were in Hotel Massimo. It was packed out, standing room only. Lots of priests, religious there, lots of lay people from mainly a European audience. People had come in from all over Europe. I'd met people that came in from Poland, Ireland, England, Germany, Switzerland, all over, Portugal, Spain. So it drew an interest of an international interest. And I think on the live stream, I don't know exactly, but I've kept hearing 5,000 were on the live stream. And people are watching, trying to watch the replay. And I don't have a link for it, but I think LifeSite News and also Church Militant's going to put out a produced version. It was 3 hours of everybody just laying it out, and it was way more aggressive than I thought it was going to be. I mean, Michael Voris was saying Pope Francis needs to resign today, yesterday, and every single panelist just had very strong words, and every single panelist agreed that we are in a material schism. I was going to say schism, but I said schism for you, Tim.
Thank you.
Schism.
Skillebex is in
Yeah,
schism.
I think you're right. It's schism. I'm working on it.
Yeah. It says both in the dictionary, like
I
I
know,
said.
but I think
I gave you that much.
I know, but I'm going with schism now. The skizzy.
Bishop Barron says Skillebex, so he's good at the
Oh,
languages.
he's got the
So
skills to pay the
he's got
bills.
the Skillebex skills?
He's got
Yeah.
the skillabics to pay the billabics.
With bills, that's kind
Yeah,
of catchy,
exactly.
man.
But yeah, that was a great, I think a great moment. It felt fiery. It felt important. You know, it was definitely a moment for war.
Yeah.
And Michael Matt had a good point regarding young people, and I think it's a good message for everyone watching. And he says, it's time for us in this crisis to not so much stress duty, you have to do this, you have to do that, but to stress honor. Now is a moment of honor. Now is the time that you get to fight. You want to go down and be a great saint, a great lover of Christ. Now is the time. And he talked about the time of the Crusades. No one came to your town and said, enlisted you and said, drafted you. You have to go fight the Crusades.
Yeah.
Priests went around and preached it, and men said, I want to give my life for that.
Right.
I'm willing to be buried in Antioch or in Jerusalem and never come back to my family and never see Europe again because of the honor of fighting at this hour. They wanted to liberate the Holy Sepulchre, the tomb of Christ, and they were willing to give up their fortunes and their lives. He goes, that's what we need for ourselves and for our young people. Now is the moment of honor. Now is the call to arms. No one's saying you have to do it, but it's the honor.
Right. Let me add to that point. I didn't even hear it, but it's something I've been thinking of over the last couple of weeks, thinking about the various hermeneutics of the council and everything that's happened in the church and culminated with Francis, really, particularly the second half of the Francis pontificate since Amoris up to today, this minute. Remember, in the 60s and 70s, the kind of two halves of the liberals who really carried the day at the council, you know, the communio liberals who wanted to change Thomism or change the face of the church, and the concilium liberals who wanted to even more so, more radically, more violently change the church. They figured one thing that will, I think, be their undoing. What's that one thing? They figured, like Dr. Heidegger, you know, Dr. Heidegger's experiment, that youth is eternal, and it's not. Mm. And the fight in here is in youth. And I'm just trying to add to Michael Matt's point. He's an insightful man. They don't have youth anymore. And the side, and I think why now the movement associated with, Guerguy Lagrange, let's just say that, maybe the central theologian of people like us. I don't know what the tribe should be called, but Guerguy Lagrange theologian enthusiasts are all young. And so even in the 70s, 80s, 90s, there was no audience that he had that right. You know, Guerguy Lagrange is sort of the Meister of this side of things had. And now in the 2000s, really with the Zoomers, and then with guys like us that are, you and I are squarely situated between Gen X and millennials, but with people Gen X and below that are now seeing the culmination of kind of both sides of the pro-council philosophy, ideology, the concilium ones and the communio ones, the more moderate ones. It's all bad. And the young people in the church are like, oh, wow. Like, there's real Thomas Aquinas represented by Cardinal, really represented by Guerguy Lagrange and Cardinal Ottaviani.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. We can go back to this. This isn't like going back in time to the 1950s NBA with guys in little Daisy Dukes running around doing layups. It's not like that. That was the best, truest self of Catholic philosophy and theology, and we can go back to it without being erstwhile, you know, dunderheaded romantics. That's not what it is. It's just the truest self. It's not like technology or sports, which really do progress like this. Mm-hmm. They get better. Mm-hmm. Sports technology, sports science gets better. It's ridiculous. I don't like it. I'm a modernist when it comes to NBA, right? The modern era is best, starting in the 90s.
You heard it here first. Tim Gordon is a modernist NBA fan.
Sports modernist. Yeah, or NFL. The sports
science. Dare we hope everyone win the playoffs?
The 1940s. Yeah, right. No, that I'm not that modernist even okay. in sports, but there's no comparing MJ, Michael Jordan, or, you know, any of these athletes running around in today's NBA to George Mikan. Sorry. It's a ridiculous comparison. That's because it's strictly material, but formalistic disciplines and studies can go back to an like studies themselves, you know, philosophy mm-hmm. and theology yeah. can return without a stupid romanita, without a stupid romanticism to an erstwhile time, without it being just a bunch of people LARPing, you know, live action role playing. That's not what we're doing. You can make a live action role play out of this. I think some people do this, but in a non-cartoon version, a real live version, we need to return to true Thomas, represented most in the 20th century by Gary Gulagrange. There aren't that many other representatives,
yeah.
but we can do that. And Zoomers are doing it. So now the changes in the Francis Pontificate, the Zoomers have woken up and they're like, oh, Thomas Aquinas is based, bro. Yeah. It's like, yeah, he is. Exactly. That's what's happening. So now they're getting scared. We have them at the beginning of on their heels.
Yes.
That's what I've been thinking about.
Okay, so my response point is going to be about the fear on the modernist side. Before I do that, we forgot our prayer. We got so hyped up and into it, we forgot our prayer. So let's say our prayer. We'll do our last prayer. Nomine Patris et Fidi et Spiritu Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidiano da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. Nomine Patris et Fidi et Spiritu Sancti. Amen. Okay, to pick up on that.
Amen.
The other side is scared because all last week and over the weekend and even today, all of the attention has been, and they're saying it, traditionalists. There was the two attacks on the cassock. There was the attack on the Saturno, the hat that looks like the planet Saturn that priests mm-hmm. and popes used to wear. Mm-hmm. There was the attack on the Beretta. Pope Francis mentioned how, you know, there is this racist joke going around about the featherhead people, the Amazonians. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how is that different than the traditional Beretta that these trads wear? So he's already making the contrast between the featherheads and the Berettas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ceremonial headgear. But the gist of it is Francis says, I don't like the Saturno. I don't like the Beretta. I like the featherhead. Right. But the foil sure. that everything's being played off is the trad. And there was much media attention on all this in Rome. A guy walked up for me from the Washington Post and said, hey, I would like to interview you on this. Washington Post was in Rome wanting to interview right. the trad voice. Right.
Right.
I think they realize that something is going on. There's a great rumbling.
That's right.
And they're, way to fix it in their mind is call these people schismatics. That's the modus operandi. These are the schismatics. Because remember, Pope right. was saying there might be a schism coming. There might be a schism coming. They all think that they're on the right side of the schism and that they're going to push us out. They're going to push us over the cliff. And what people need to realize is someone asked this on the panel. This question came to me. They said, you know, they're going to call us schismatics and we're going to call them schismatics. And how does that work out? Look, in the fourth century, those who followed Arius and said Christ is a creature, they said that the followers of Athanasius were the schismatics. All sure. of them accused the Orthodox party of being schismatics. Meanwhile, the people who followed Athanasius and said Christ is consubstantial with the Father, they said, no, no, no. You may have the buildings. We have the faith.
Right.
You have the church buildings. We have the faith. Y'all are the schismatics because what defines schism is who is on the side of Catholic orthodoxy.
Sure.
And it took 60 years for that whole Arian shakedown to happen. But what did right. we learn? St. Athanasius is a doctor of the church. He was out in the wilderness without his basilica. The guy who was back at home in Alexandria in the basilica of Athanasius, he was a heretic and he was the schismatic, even though he was the one inside the church. right. building, I mean, church building.
Yeah, and I think this might be what you're saying. Maybe it's my own thought, but I think linearly speaking, they are anticipating schism. I'll come out and say it in the wake of this synod, right? Like, I don't think they're, I would guess, and I think all signs point to, they're not saying, oh, anyone's a schismatic yet. You know, I mean, I don't think they're calling, you know, guys like you or me schismatics yet. I'm not saying there aren't actual schismatics, but I think they're readying the way for the Amazon Synod should be sort of ground zero for the third and final wave of the Francis pontificate. Like we talked about this. I didn't think there's any way he's going to retire this year. I think this was the second 3 years. I think he's preparing for a third 2 or 3 years. Doesn't need to be mathematically even, where he was somewhat non-aggressive the first three, somewhat more aggressive this next three. I think now the gloves are off and the world recognizes Pope Francis is, you know, who his friends are, who his enemies are, and there's no more point in dawdling. So I believe this is going to be the boundary, sort of like the 2015 ordinary synod of the family was. I guess that was 4 years ago. Really, the coming out party, maybe more aptly put, would have been April of 2016 with the publication of Laudato Si. But I think this is going to be it. I think this is where there really truly might be something schismatic. You tell me, you were just there. But they're preparing to call a schism. You know, both sides are trying to self-quarantine by pinning all the ugliness on the other.
Yes. Now, let me put a little feather in your cap there, Tim Gordon, so that you can look like an Amazonian too. What I heard in Rome is that Francis's health is better than it's been since he was elected. He's been losing weight and he's feeling better. I also heard from a couple other people is that you said there's a three year that no, this is going around the turn post. There's the first 7 years and now they're planning the second 7 years.
Really?
They think Francis will make it another 7.
Wow.
And he's not going to resign. Everyone was saying he's not going to resign.
Oh, yeah.
You will have to cut his dead fingers off the papal throne, they say. He is not going away.
I told you that 6 months ago.
I know, and I disagreed with you. Now I agree.
But 7 years? How can he be that healthy? No, what is he? How old is he?
He's 82.
Oh, he's only in his young 80s?
He's 82.
I just lost track. So,
that would put him at 89.
I guess.
If he doesn't die. Benedict is still alive. He's 92.
Right.
That's 10 right. more years.
Well.
The other thing, I don't want to get into this on this show. We can do another, is the Benny Plenists are growing. All weekend, and when I got home and was looking at all my correspondence people, everybody's going Benny Plenist. Which means they think Benedict is still Pope. They're saying, how could a Pope allow idolatry in the Vatican gardens? How could the Pope allow an idol at the altar in Vatican City? How could a true Pope with the grace of office allow this to happen? So those who think Benedict are Pope are now growing or getting more vocal positions, Benny Plenist. I want to run a video. We talked about it before we went live. This is the girl in the yoga pants dancing with the Gospels with the Amazonian clapping. I want to show it so people can see it, but I also want to pause the film because my wife Joy noticed that if you look behind her on in front of the altar, you'll see another one of these fertility goddesses, the naked pregnant lady carved in wood. You'll see it again. So I'm going to run this. Let's see if I can do it. Switch over. Let's see. Here it is. Okay, here we go. This is an Amazon girl. And she's wearing... I'm going to pause it here. Tim, did you know that traditional Amazonian women wear Adidas yoga pant outfits?
I did. I only knew it because I saw the video, though.
Apparently, they weave together... textile materials in the forest and create these yoga outfits.
Adidas manufactures in the Amazonian rainforest. Little known fact.
Yeah, it's crazy. I didn't know they could do that.
It's skill.
Uh-oh.
Skill of X to pay the bill of X.
Okay, here she goes. Now I'm going to be pausing it and trying to show the idol in the background. So here she goes. Here come the claps. Okay, there it is. Pause. Everybody look towards the altar. Now this church, Tim, do you know this church? This is the church of Santa Maria Trasportina, I think it's called.
Yeah, I've been there once.
Yeah, once you cross the Tiber River and you start walking towards the piazza of St. Peter's, there's a church on your right. It's right by the Hard Rock Cafe there, which is not a cafe. You go into the Hard Rock Cafe near Vatican City and you can just buy t-shirts. There's no food. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, the eating Hard Rock Cafe is still in the northern part of the city, but across the river.
But this is where you buy the merch. So anyway, this church is by there, and what they've done, I got this from George Neumeier, who's been doing a great job, by the way.
He has, based, yeah.
Yeah, so George Neumeier has been poking around. They've set up this church just outside the Vatican Piazza as sort of the Amazonian headquarters. This is where they get to do all their stuff. So this, apparently, this is where this is being filmed. And so you can see right in front of the altar are more of these blankets. They love the blankets, don't they, Tim?
Yeah, they do.
And as I pointed out in the video two nights ago, these blankets have prints on them. They're printed cloth. You know, like you do like a t-shirt. Very traditional Amazonian production, right?
Silk screen thing.
So you can see right here, folks, is another one of these fertility goddesses. And they said when the original video came out in the Vatican Gardens that this was Mary and Elizabeth. And then they asked the Vatican spokespeople, like, oh no, that's just a pagan fertility sign. Represents life.
Unbelievable.
You have to laugh or you cry. Here is an idol in the church, right there on top of the blankets. There's two candles burning in front of her. I'm going to play it some more. This lady's dancing. Some of the nuns aren't clapping. Maybe they don't like it. Okay, there's another shot of the idol right there if the candle's burning in front of it. Yeah, you can see it really well right there. It almost looks like it's painted red on the womb. Yep, there it is.
You don't blame them for not clapping, I'm sure.
No. Ridiculous.
I mean,
it's ridiculous. So yeah, there it is. And did you see, Tim, speaking of in this church, did you see, let me get this back on the screen, did you see the image in this church of the woman nursing the animal, the dog, with her breast?
No. Where was that?
Oh my goodness. I edited a video that blocks out some of the bad stuff here. Here, let me text it to you. Hold on, I'm going to take it off screen. Let me text it to you real quick, because I know you, Tim, can't see what's on my screen. Tim, check this out, man.
I'm doing pretend commentary when I do commentary, because I can't see.
Yeah, check it out. I just sent you an image, Tim. Pull it up on your phone. Tim's first time seeing this. I put a little black box. Here.
I haven't yet gotten it.
Oh, I texted the wrong person. Oh, no. That's embarrassing.
You texted it to your...
I think it went to my wife.
Mother-in-law?
No. Yeah. Here it is. Check it out, Tim. I just texted it to you. All look right. at it.
Hold on. Here, let me get...
Look by the black box. This is horrible.
Oh, snap.
This is in the church.
What is that thing?
It's a woman nursing a dog. On one breast, she has a baby. On the other breast, she's nursing a dog.
Oh, that's vile. Wow.
Here, it's on the screen. It's George Neumeier found the photo. It's posted in the church. Okay? And it says, disgusting. Everything is connected.
Disgusting.
And it has a woman, an Amazonian woman, and on her right breast, she's nursing a dog.
Yeah.
And on the left side, she's nursing a baby.
Not even anatomically possible. No, that's crazy.
Isn't it disgusting?
It's vile.
Yeah. What is wrong with these people? Doing? And why would they take pictures of it and put it in a Catholic church? This is disgusting.
I'm becoming more afraid that I just know why. And by the way, the thing you said about the growing Benny Plenis, I still don't number myself in this camp, but let's be honest. Yeah, I mean, can we just be honest for half a moment? Like, no one really knows what's going on. This is too odd.
No.
I just saw a woman nursing a dog, for heaven's sakes. You
a
know?
Woman it's nursing like, a dog posted
maybe,
in a church.
Maybe they're right. I mean, who knows? I really don't know. I don't know. That's not an endorsement. That's just a... I mean, it makes sense, right? That movement would grow. It's since there's a dearth of actionable intel, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't claim to know.
I'm taking this image off the screen. I don't want to see it. It makes me want to throw up. I might throw up on live YouTube if we have
that
there.
That would be
like all over my keyboard.
That'd also be gross.
Be horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not bestiality, but it's so disordered and disgusting. Like, the mother's milk is for the baby, not for the town dog.
Yeah.
What is wrong with these people? And why would it says, here's the message, Tim. Here's the message. It says everything is connected in Spanish. What it's saying is the dog is equal to the baby.
It's true.
It's We're true. All interconnected. The dog has equal value to the baby.
Yeah.
Mother Earth has equal value to Mother Mary.
Right.
The big thing is hear the cry of Mother Earth. A bunch of nuns came in there and unfurled this banner. Hear the cry of Mother Earth.
I saw that. That's
the
what
earth
do you say?
Doesn't what? Talk. The Earth does not talk. Have you ever heard the Earth talk?
No,
see,
not unless
Thomas Aquinas is good on this. There's all these creatures, all these species. Only one created species can talk. Technically, not even the angels can talk like we talk. They talk by intellect. We talk. Discourse, words, right?
Yeah.
Dogs don't
really
talk.
It's staggering
don't talk.
Stuff.
This is baloney.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, we thought, you know, okay, put it this way. You try to lawyer this or to put it on the shelf and analyze the way, you know, people on the sensible spectrum of things have. And they said, okay, the Amazon Synod, this is going to be pretextual. It's going to be pretext for the agenda of ending priestly celibacy and perhaps, dare I say it, the ordination of women.
Mm.
But, and I'm not saying it's not that, they're probably going to do that too, but look what else they're fitting in. That was a surprise. All this paganism crap.
You know who nailed this was Father Dave Nix. He said women's ordination and married priest is on the agenda, but it's a distraction to get the conservatives all riled up over something. He said the main agenda is paganism. Having been there, it is all paganism all the time. This is a pagan infiltration into the church. They were in the garden and they had rattles that they were shaking, you know, and they were dancing around and in a circle holding hands. They had a female shaman leading their liturgy. The Pope sat there. The Pope sat there and watched it and received a black ring from the woman. What the
really?
Literally, what the hell is that?
don't know.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. Usually we have some commentary. I mean, I don't know what to say.
No, the commentary is literally, what the hell? Capital H. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
Did you know Leo the 13th used to walk around that garden praying his St. Michael exorcism? They say he had a little booklet and he would take his daily walk in the Vatican Gardens, and that was his time to pray the exorcism over the world.
And I now did know that.
Francis is in the same garden with pagan rites, idols. There was the little male idol that people thought was phallic. Voris is saying it's part of the arm, not a phallus. It's an idol. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to have these oddities to it. Paganism, black rings, chants, circles, female shaman, aka a witch, all this stuff going on inside the walls of the Vatican. You know, it used to be you had to read a Malachi Martin book to read about seances in the Vatican cities. Now you can just turn on the TV or go on YouTube and watch it.
Right.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know if people won't wake up on account of this. If the mudslinging, let me be real clear here. If the mudslinging about, you know, books like yours, shows like ours last fall, you know, throughout fall, and I'd say early winter last fall that we did here on TNT, theories of infiltration, if they don't abound now, and if we continue to allow them to be mischaracterized, grossly mischaracterized as kooky tinfoil hat, you know, basement dwelling conspiracy theory, then there's no hope. I mean, they are literally overtaking the Vatican Gardens and doing pagan rituals. Like, you can't.
Yes.
This 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, whatever, since this show has been going, people would have said, if we would have said, look, by blank, and it said that in the fall of 2019, there's going to be pagan rituals in the Vatican Gardens, people would have said, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. You're going to be embarrassed that day. Where are those naysayers now? Yeah. I want to hear it. Yeah. I want to hear what.
Where are the people who said Marshall's book, Infiltration, was the conspiracy theory shoddy book? Where are those people now? And for all those people who did say that, shame on you. Shame on you. You carried water for pagans.
Well, if they're not willing to admit, okay, there's something to it now.
Right.
I always respect someone that's willing to say, hey, I thought this was conspiracy theory. I was being intellectually honest at the time, but at this time, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. See, we don't want to shame them too much out of being able to be like, okay, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa, I was wrong. And I mean, I've been saying this for a long time too. The people laughing at the Alta Vendita, the people laughing at the fact that you know there are communist documents that were intercepted also later than the Alta Vendita. This stuff is real, and if you, I mean, res ipsa loquitur, the thing speaks itself. Like, it's crazy, and people that are still unwilling to speak just need to acknowledge, okay, forget the tribes within the church. It's just either, yes, I'm such a modernist that I believe that, you know, paganism's okay. Neo-paganism can re-enter the church. They need to admit that. And if they're not willing to do so, then I don't know what. But the people that aren't willing to admit that and don't believe that and find it deplorable really need to say so now. And it's the young people in the church. The young people in the church are not going to tolerate this. I know it. It's a growing hope, and now it's becoming a more firm faith that I have. That just, I don't know how to affect any change.
Yeah.
People out there, by the way, that are so in love with monarchy. This is what you get, right? This is what Plato says. What's the perverse side of monarchy? Is when a monarchy gets perverted.
This is a divine constitution. You can't have a parliament.
No. I'm not saying we have to have a monarchy in the church. Don't hear me wrong. I'm saying this is a political analog. This is the problem when you're like, look, we believe in monarchy. The church always does, always will be. I'm not suggesting a change there. But this is what happens. There's literally no way that the cardinalate, even if there was a majority of them that were sensible, which I don't believe there are for reasons we have covered here on TNT. Even if there was a majority, even if it was 99 out of every 100, you know, 99 of the voting 100, let's say it's an even number, you can't do anything, right? So this is monarchy when it goes neo-pagan. I don't know what else to say.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of conversations happened in Rome, and there's a quote. I want to share it because it comes from St. Alphonsus Liguori. Hopefully I can pull it up. I wasn't planning on sharing it, but it's an interesting quote. Let me see here. Oh, man. I may not be able to find it. I'm going to have to do it later because I have a gazillion texts over the weekend because of everything going on. No, I'm not going to find it. But there is a strong tradition amongst moral theologians and dogmatic theologians that anyone who's a heretic loses their office, including the Pope. Robert Bellarmine and St. Alphonsus Liguori say even when the Pope as a private person should fall into heresy, he falls from the pontificate. If that's the case, we may seem pretty close.
Yeah, but it's got to be it's retroactive. It's declared later. So I mean that doesn't help us right now. That
well,
might help
that
later
would,
in terms
some
of
some say that.
Listen,
I found it. Here's the quote. St. Alphonsus Liguori: if ever a pope as a private person should fall into heresy, he would at once fall from the pontificate. Liguori says immediate. Here's Robert Bellarmine: a pope who is a manifest heretic automatically per se ceases to be the pope and head, just as he ceases automatically to be a Christian and a member of the church. Wherefore, he can be judged and punished by the church. This is the teaching of all the ancient fathers who teach that manifest heretics immediately lose all jurisdiction. De Romano Pontifice, Book 2, 30. I mean, those are two heavy hitters, man. Robert Bellarmine and I mean, I can't even believe we're talking about this right now. I can't even believe we're talking about it. But Robert Bellarmine and Alphonsus Liguori, there has to be a way out of this. There has to be.
There is.
Because the church is indefectible.
The way out,
the church cannot fail. It's not like the church stops and then 5 minutes later we start it again. That can't happen. It has to be continuous from the day of Christ's resurrection and Pentecost until the second coming of Christ. It must endure in every age. I mean, one way to fix that is just say, okay, B16 is Pope. B16 is Pope. But then you watch over the weekend, he's hanging out with Pope Francis and receiving Francis's new cardinals and blessing them.
Right. Yeah. But that could be, we don't know what the conditions for that would be anyway. We just don't have enough information to make any sense, which is why the people that are unwilling to just suffer with the church, the pilgrim church's sufferings, are the ones that are making rash judgments. I don't mean the unfaithful neo-pagans in the church. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about good-hearted people that are unwilling to suffer, right? And to say, I mean, you and I like to, we're question askers. A lot of times we're question answerers. We both studied quite a bit of studies between us. But you have to be intellectually humble. Like, we don't know. And we've said this more and more recently. There is retroactivity to some of these things. I you know, like, but it doesn't
but
mean
just
that
don't
for the
know.
Time being, you don't, we
just
don't know.
Don't know.
We don't know.
And
so
even
sit
even
tight.
When you have heretics deposed, for example, Archbishop Patriarch Nestorius, he said we should not say Marys Theotokos, and he introduced heresy into the church. When he did that, the lay people in that liturgy, divine liturgy, says we no longer have a bishop. We have lost our bishop. We no longer have a bishop. He was called out by a layman, and then the other layman said, we no longer have a bishop. We have an emperor, but we don't have a bishop. That's the quote. But it took until the Council of Ephesus in 431 to publicly denounce him and depose him.
Right.
So it seems to me, as Catholics, we lay people just can't be running around with their heads chopped off saying, we don't have a pope, or there hasn't been a pope, or B16 is definitely the pope, or whatever it is, until right. we have some kind of ecclesiastical clarification. We are not Puritans. We are not Mennonites.
Right.
We are not charismatics. We don't believe that we have this pipeline of the Holy Ghost from the beatific vision into our brains. I don't have that, and no one out there watching has that. What we go by is ecclesiastical certainty. So,
right.
at this point, I'm open to being persuaded to whatever option it is, but until we have some kind of ecclesiastical certainty, I just don't feel confident saying this is definitively the situation we're in. But I think everybody recognizes this is an enormous mess. There is idolatry right. in Vatican City. Pope Leo XIII wrote an encyclical and protested the erection of a statue to Bruno the Heretic in Campo dei Fiori.
Right.
Every time I pass that, even with my son, we spit on the statue. He's a horrible pantheistic heretic.
Yeah.
And I cover that whole why that happened and how the Freemasons erected it, in fact, in infiltration. A pope wrote an encyclical and protested the erection of a statue of a heretic in the late 1800s. And here we are with the pope having idols in the Vatican City.
Right.
Not even a statue of a heretic, but actual idols. Unbelievable right. people.
But go back to what we were saying before, because it's become a more and more prominent theme in the interaction between us and commentators out there, and even just commentators on the comm box. We're not saying run from a fight. Look, I mean,
No. Now was the time.
This is not that. No, but the problem is, so like a soldier that's equipped. Well, I mean, men are equipped to fight. You outfit them, you give them a standard issue weapons, sidearm, knife, whatever, bayonet. You get your helmet. You give them the outfit. You make them part of the army. But if a soldier's out there at night or early in the morning and the enemy's not in front of him, and you see him take, you know, shadow boxing or I mean, he might be practicing, but I mean bayonetting the thin air, then you might think this guy needs to have his head checked, right?
Right.
Right now, so that people know, I am saying we need to be gearing up, mustering, particularly the young people in the church who seem to be uber receptive to Garrigou Lagrangeism. They are. And the other side's learning it. Oh, wow, these young people really like the clarity, the mathematicality, the beauty of real Thomism.
Yeah.
So we're mustering the army, but we don't know. We don't, I mean, and so I'll literally, and I mean, you don't respond to every crazy out there. There are crazies out there that are saying this, but it's not cowardice. I mean, the army is not standing in front of us, A, and B, it's a little bit of a shoddy metaphor. It's my metaphor. I'm critiquing my own metaphor, but it's a bit of a shoddy metaphor in the relationality of the clergy to the lay anyway, but I'm not saying it doesn't hold at all. But right now, we're kind of waiting to see what shapes up. Let's see what the point of the synod really ends up being, because we've been predicting it for
paganism.
Months. It seems to be paganism.
Paganism.
Clearly.
Yes. Idols, worship, shamans. This all started before the thing even started. They weren't even sneaky about it. They invited the video cameras in.
Right. Which is weird, because it's almost like it's not even hiding in plain. There's hiding. Then there's a middle level we call hiding in plain sight. You talk about that in your book. I've talked a great right. length about that. That's what they have to do when they still are hiding, but they're in plain sight. This is the top level. This is no hiding at all. This is like, let's broadcast to all these news outfits. Fox News, Washington Post, BBC. Oh, BBC contacted me the early yeah. start of the day, and we didn't end up doing anything because I think it was we had a night day problem. They're 8 hours ahead, but yeah, I mean, all the world secular press are like, what in the hell is going on?
Yes,
seriously, like right. what is going on in the church? Like, we're secularists. We kind of like that the Roman Catholic Church is ostensibly consuming itself. Yeah. But I mean, not that it really is. It'll prevail against the gates of hell. But what the hell is going on? But even there, like, this is weird, bro. Like, what? Yeah. What is this? So I mean, people need to understand the difference between muster an army, get ready. The young people that are coming into the church love Thomas, love the Guérigou Lagrange way of doing real Thomistic studies, and the nature and the supernature that's represented by that. They're sick of both of these two schools of Vatican II, Communio, and Concilium, and all that. That doesn't. I mean, go watch our video on hermeneutic of continuity. Many people, even on the right, misunderstand what it is, I think.
Yes.
But the point is, I don't know. What do you want us to do? Some people contact me. They're like, why aren't you doing something? I'm like, what do you want me to do? Be the crazy soldier bayoneting thin air? I live in California. Like, I write about it. I speak about it. But I don't. No one knows what to do. The smartest people in the world. I'm not saying them. The other guys, the best heads in the world are like, let's see what plays out and see if then we come to a decision point. We're not even at a decision point.
Yeah.
We have no power right now. Yeah. Just know, teach everyone, show everyone that's on the fence about Taylor's book Infiltration or about the theories we put forward here, show them what's happening in Rome right now. They're all going to be like, what the actual heck is going on?
Now, I think we can say hell. What the hell is going on? There's been an infiltration,
substitution for a different one. Yeah. Yeah.
It's there. Yeah. It's there. So what we can do, we don't necessarily know the meta narrative. We know the meta narrative leading up, but we don't know the meta narrative leading out. Right? So we must now is that if you're a priest watching, and you didn't mention this in your Sunday sermon, it needs to be mentioned in the next Sunday sermon because the lay people are bleeding out right now.
Yep.
You can't watch your Pope sit in front of idols and pagan worship and say, Catholicism makes sense. It has to be addressed. And don't you come to us laymen and say, well, it's complicated. I can't speak. I might.
Right.
Listen, the reason you're celibate and you don't have a wife and you don't have 6 to 8 kids, you don't have a mortgage, is so that you can speak out and you don't lose anything.
Right.
Technically, you're not supposed to have anything to lose. So the celibates need to come out and speak. It's time for the army of celibates to speak. And any bishop who is quiet about this is complicit moving forward. Any bishop who's quiet moving forward is complicit.
It's good.
So we have to speak out. I know the good guys are speaking out. Burke is speaking out. Brandmuller speaking out. I got to meet Cardinal Brandmuller for the second time, knelt down, kissed his ring. He gave me his blessing. He was at the TFP conference in Rome, which was hard hitting. It was academic and hard hitting. And Brandmuller was there, and he gave his cardinal blessing at the end to the assembly. Now is the time for war, and the main weapon is the rosary. We always say it at the end of every show, and we're wrapping up here. But if you're not praying the rosary, you're not on the team.
Yeah.
This is it. Now is the time to take arms. You're not praying the rosary, you're not helping. This is a spiritual battle. I beg you, please pray the rosary every day. I wrote on Twitter a couple days ago, I said, Our Lady said 5 decades a day. This might be the time to ramp it to 15. I'm trying to. What else do we got, man? You know?
Not a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. St. Michael, the Archangel. Pray for us. We need all the help we can get. All right. Well, we got to wrap up here. I can hear my kids just got home from school. I haven't seen them since I went to Rome. So I want to run down and give kisses and hugs. So we'll sign off here. Please subscribe to the channel. Please hit the bell to be notified. Please like it. Please, underneath this video where it says share it on Facebook and share it on Twitter. Share it to other people. And then, of course, I always appreciate the support on Patreon, patreon.com/Dr. Taylor Marshall. All right. Anything you want to add before we pray and sign off, Tim? parting shot.
Yeah, just parting shot. Just people look. There's a quotation from Saint Augustine at the beginning of my book, Catholic Republic, and it goes like this: Hope has two beautiful daughters, courage and anger. And I forget how the rest of the quote goes, but they're related. The two beautiful daughters, anger and courage, cross. Well, that would be a bad image. They help each other out.
Right. They team up.
And they team up. You can't have real hope unless you have anger and courage. So it's actually a triad. We need anger. We need righteous anger. You don't want to go set things on fire. You need to demand, like Taylor said, homilies from your priest. What's up with Rome? You know, world international secular media is covering this. Quit pretending they're not.
Yes.
We need hope that is based on anger, because anger makes things happen, and courage is what it requires to get anger to the next level, to action. The action part is a little unclear, but what's not unclear is you should be talking about standing around after Mass, talking to your priest and anyone else that'll hear. I'm angry. This is too far. This is a bridge too far. And it's not just, we don't just need to lop off what started happening now. We need to, this is illustrative of everything that's happened in the church in the last 50 years. And it, you know what? It should make us rethink everything that's happened in the last 50 years. I mean, from the perspective of, let's go back and line some of these things out. Second hermeneutic of continuity. We just need to say, we need to get back before the council in terms of theology and outlook and how much dialogue, ecumenia, should be done with pagans. Why do we need dialogue with pagans? Tip of the hat to Father Mark Goring, who made this point yesterday. You know, why do we need dialogue with pagans? Simple question, demand a simple answer.
Right. My parting shot, something to think about is, and Father Dave Nix and I were texting this morning about it. You know the answer, Tim. In what year did Our Lady say to open the third secret?
1960.
Have we not had steady and increased decline in the Catholic Church since the year 1960?
Of course.
Look at any graph on any number, any demographic. Globally, we have had decline since 1960. Our Lady of Fatima said the third secret should be open tonight. Something 1960. That's my parting shot. Pray the rosary. Be courageous. Stand up. This is the time of honor. This is the time of great saints. Yes.
One more thing. We say unite the clans and all that, and that's great. But here's the key to uniting the clans. And I even mean with people that are faithful, that are a bit further than a stone's throw from us. Quit fragging each other. Quit fragging anyone who's a faithful Catholic at this point, whether or not you think they're your little tribe, anyone that's like, this is paganism, right? Because we all have differing views on hermeneutics, the council, what's happened in the church since about 1960. There are lots of theories that aren't clear. So have some intellectual humility. And I'm talking to people that are mostly right or mostly right now. Quit fragging each other. Stop. What we need to do is, I mean, it's fine to frag the enemy, but this is Reagan's rule as a president. Never say anything negative about a conservative. Never say anything negative from here on out. You can disagree with them and you can have robust intellectual discussion. No more petty trad negativity about minutiae. It might end up proving some of these guys right and some of them wrong and whatever else. That's fine. Good for you if you're the one that's vindicated by future history. But quit fragging people. If you disagree with someone, take issue with their point of view and have an interesting dialogue that satisfies your intellect.
Yeah.
But none of us know. No one's presented a cohesive whole explanation for the truth. So quit fragging people. Yeah. That makes me almost as mad as the other thing. No one knows. Just look for faithful people. It's okay to frag people that like paganism in the church.
The other thing is, if you've been trad or write about this for 10 years or 5 years or 25 years, whatever, don't be the pompous jerk who puts everybody down saying, well, we've been saying this for years. Haven't you ever read Michael Davies, whatever? Yeah, you know what? maybe we all should have been reading Michael Davies or giving a little bit more cred to Lefebvre or whatever. Look, people are coming around. Don't be the older brother who says, hey, I wasn't laying down with the pigs. I wasn't eating, laying in a pigsty. Be happy. Be happy that your numbers are now going double, triple, tenfold. People are on a continuum. It's not, this is a, not an obvious situation. So don't be the disgruntled older brother. Be joyful that people who are getting woke, who are getting red pilled, is increasing by the day.
Because it means something. It literally means, I don't like being in an intellectual debate and then people start psychologizing. It's very irritating when people do that. But this is one bit of psychology that you can take to the bank. When somebody that's actually right and was in a small minority of being right does not want their point of view to preponderate, it's a form of narcissism, and it absolutely means something about you. When you're right, you should want to popularize your point of view. Taylor wants his book Infiltration to become the mainstream point of view in the church, but not for his own good, but for others. I want my book Catholic Republic to be the mainstream point of view of not just American Catholics, but all Catholics in the world. I think I got it right. So it's really weird when some of these parties, if some of these parties were to be right and not want other people crossing the Tiber with them, right? You should be happy if you're right. And just, right. I'm just adding steam to what you said. It's right. Really weird if not, and there's something intellectually and psychologically remiss if you know, you're not happy. Hey, I was right, but I'm happy to see people coming on. Better late than never. More the merrier. Right? Should want more amen. Parties on your side.
I even said amen like a Baptist there. Amen.
Amen. Say, can I get an amen? Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Preach it.
Yeah.
As we say in Texas, this is how you unite the class. As we say in Texas, that'll preach.
Right.
That'll preach.
That yeah. dog will so, hunt.
Unite the clans, pray the rosary, and take up the twin daughters of hope. Courage. And ira, anger. We have to fight. All right, signing off, everyone. Godspeed.